talk a little bit today about governing OneDrive in the enterprise. Show of hands, who's currently using OneDrive in their organization? Okay.
That's my answer to everything.
So. Yeah, you guys did a long growth. Who's familiar with sort of the history of OneDrive as a product within there? Okay. It has an interesting pedigree. So it started out as a product that was sort of an offshoot of MySites for the most part. And then it sort of kind of dovetailed with this product called Groove, which has a more interesting, equally interesting pedigree. So, you know, Groove was developed by Riazi, who is also the inventor of Lotus Notes. So it has a, you know, OneDrive has this long pedigree and history of collaboration. So it became an offshoot of MySites. It started to become a competitor to things like Dropbox. And, you know, it's been gaining adoption through that sort of need for internal and external, you know, sharing and collaboration. But effectively, you know, we're talking about, file sharing services. And there's a lot of organizations, you know, there's a tremendous explosion of the amount of content being generated in any given organization. You know, we're talking about, before the web, there was 120 gigs globally per day. Now we're talking about 17 exabytes per second. I mean, just the vast scale of it is becoming, you know, an unfathomable, you know, and organizations are struggling to understand how they're going to get through this, you know, how are they going to manage all this data. The lines of the organization are becoming far more, you know, permeable. You know, Microsoft has a thing they refer to as the intelligent cloud, so it's this, you know, multi-device, artificial intelligence, you know, serverless architecture, intelligent edge, you know, clients, partners, organizations, you know, internal groups need to collaborate, you know, more efficiently, more visibly, more, you know, more seamlessly. You know, the edges are blurring. You know, so, you know, where your perimeter is now is difficult to define. You know, so you know you have external sharing. You know you have mobility. You know what your company's internal perimeter is. But, you know, there needs to be, you know, movement between all these layers. So Microsoft is trying to give people those tools for those, you know, unique collaboration experiences. You know, they have to provide a standardized set of tools. OneDrive, you know, is one of those tools. Which, you know, exists within a family of products. So, you know, you've got Office 365 groups, you've got OneDrive for Business, you've got SharePoint sites, you've got Outlook Mail, you've got Skype for Business, Yammer groups, Yammer communities. You know, so people are starting to, you know, get a little overwhelmed, like, what do I use in what context? You know, so what we want to talk today about is, you know, what is the use case for OneDrive? How do you deploy it? What are some of your sort of technical choices for managing it within the enterprise? How many people here are using a GPO approach to manage OneDrive today? Okay. Who knows what a GPO is? Okay, so GPO is just it's shorthand speak for group policy object, which is a fancy way of saying that Active Directory has the means of sort of centrally administering and controlling, you know, the environment in which it operates. So, for instance, for today's discussion, OneDrive is capable of, you know, stating, okay, we want only this package to be deployed at this time, and we want to make sure that we have a standardized, you know, location for where OneDrive files will be located. Does that all make sense to everyone? Okay. So some of the challenges around deploying something like OneDrive is, you know, what is the overall usage of file servers or, you know, similar tools within the enterprise today? You know, who is using what? What governance controls exist? Who today has a big problem with shadow IT in their organization in any capacity? Yeah. So you're going to see things like, you know, teams will be using Dropbox, they'll be using old SharePoint sites, mm-hmm. they'll be using Docs, they'll be using file servers, they'll be using some FileMaker Pro database that some developer back in the late 90s, you know, developed, and it just stuck around for all this time. There's still going to be, you know, silos of Lotus Notes. So we're going to discuss how you can deploy OneDrive, how you can manage its locations, what some of its system limitations are, what deployment scenarios are, and how you monitor usage. We're going to discuss this in sort of the context of trying to single source your overall file management. You know, how can you help to drive OneDrive as that OneDrive? You know, how can you ensure that people are actually using this, they aren't using their personal OneDrive accounts, and then discuss strategies for, how you can help stave off, unwanted Dropbox installations or other products. So we're going to talk about this from the context of Ellie. Ellie is the CIO at C-Wave Records. She has recently decided to roll out OneDrive for Business. Like many organizations, they have many file servers, many file services in the organization. She's realized that it's just becoming an insurmountable problem. They still have things like, old Novell file servers out there, and they're trying to consolidate on some platform. They considered going, strictly with Windows servers, but, they're realizing that they're having this problem where they need to interact with their partners and vendors so in a more seamless fashion. So she wants to standardize on a single governable platform, and that platform is OneDrive in this context. This seemed like a familiar sort of persona to everybody? Great. So she doesn't know who's using what drive solutions. So, people have Google Drive, people have Dropbox, like we were saying. She knows that there's teams out there that are running their own file servers. There's business units that have their own IT groups that, just sort of do their own thing. But she wants to start to stave that off. She wants to start standardizing. She wants to act as a single organization. So, but she doesn't know what the current usage for OneDrive for Business is. And she's, again, concerned about shadow IT. So, four strategies for writing the ship. So I thought it was great that we were talking earlier about how, Office 365 is a journey, and things are changing every day. So that's why we sort of chose this nautical theme. I also like gardening things, because, we've got certain things, weeding back, and make sure everything's growing the way we want it to. So we want to make sure that people are getting the fair winds and following seas with their approach. So first we're going to talk about redirection. So just to frame this up, sounds like most people here aren't familiar sort of the technical underpinnings of Active Directory, GPOs, and things of that nature. So there's going to be some technical stuff in these slides, but I'll try to talk about it as high level as possible.
And then the other point that I'll make is just try and pick up a few keywords and then go back and talk to your IT folks.
Yeah.
Tell them, hey, I heard about this thing. Maybe we can do it.
That's a great point. So we're going to talk about redirection. So effectively, everything sort of comes in a prepackaged approach. So you can see, as soon as you install OneDrive for Business, it's going to install in this spot. That may not be the spot you want it to, be installed. And you want to ensure that there's consistency across the board. So different IT groups may install in different folders. So this gives you a means of sort of pushing that and governing it from a centralized perspective. So this really just talks about how, you can configure domain level settings to make sure all users sync to the same folder. And that'll be name-based. So, you can say, Michael B at Tribune.com or whatever, the domain name is. Redirect the document folder to sync to the location. If that folder does not exist, it will be created. And that's what I was talking about. So you have that sort of naming convention. You need some user profile / OneDrive at your company name. So you can enforce those types of things. You can create a group policy object. Again, that's those GPOs we're talking about. And set the user preferences so you can enforce that from an Active Directory policy level. So, and this is actually what the applet would look like for that within the GPO. So
if you're using it in some other management, you can configure another management tool too to manage your machines, right?
This is strictly speaking the GPO, but I don't know if there's other products that can manage OneDrive specifically.
Just the machine settings itself, Okay.
But they've actually come up with a GPO pack for OneDrive, which is great because I have finer control over its installation and deployment.
Which all ends up being registry settings. So any management tool that can manage registry settings on a Windows device can do this.
Yeah, there is an interesting with group enabled devices. There's this actual stuff we'll be talking about that It does not change the registry setting, so you have to change it to off just to be on the safe side. So it's a little bug, it's a little product.
Is there anywhere where those like detailed instructions are listed?
Yeah.
We do a fast track. Is it out there? So
yeah, they've got all, it's
can
all,
pass
it's all
that
on,
along?
Yeah, I can actually show the documents that.
That would be great.
That we drive a lot of this from.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
on support.office.com.
Yep.
There are articles that explain the details in IT terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
That your IT folks can refer to.
Yeah.
All how to do these steps.
And so this is all referred to as item level targeting. So you have a targeting editor where you can actually, you know, direct it, and you can, you know, set certain criteria. So, you know, match type folder exists, and you know what the path should be. And, you know, you can turn item level targeting on or off. So that's just a means of how you deploy it. And then, you know, you can configure the policies within, you know, this would be the DPO settings, so user configuration. What policy is under Windows settings, so essentially that means it's operating at the operating system level. You have that as opposed to the, you know, user setting level. Not going to go through the right click, but effectively, you know, again, this is what it would look like, and then this is what it would actually appear as on, you know, somebody's machine. So it goes from this, how it looks from the centrally, you know, managed and governed approach to things on the back end, and this is what the actual experience looks like on the front end.
So before you go on, so the keyword here is folder redirection.
Yeah.
Right? That's what this technique is referring to. And so from the end user's perspective, they still interact with their documents folder, their music folder, their photos folder. And it appears just like the same familiar folder they've always dealt with, but really the storage is happening to happen one way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they just see it as OneDrive and their favorites, and that's what's important to them. But from a, you know, governance perspective and administration perspective, you know that you're controlling it. You know where it's going to, you know, and every time a technician goes to an individual machine, they'll know exactly where to look in the file system.
I just got something.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So this is essentially the same as traditional redirection.
Yeah.
Where you'd be redirected to a file server for central storage for roaming user support.
It's a little different, you're switching
the destination.
You're switching the destination. It's a little different because, you know, it's on a local machine. It's not pushing somebody off to an F drive, you know,
right,
to say, go to this server, and you're not mapping, like, user profiles or anything like that.
What alternative to this technique that we've been doing where we've got a client that still wants to use their redirected folders?
Yeah.
So what we've been doing is creating another group policy that drops a shortcut in that redirected my documents.
That makes sense.
That points back to the OneDrive location so that they can easily get to that without going through a lot of machinations.
Yeah, and that's a good workaround. This is just, you know, this is great because it's a more tailored approach.
And it's direct to OneDrive,
yep.
So everything ends up in OneDrive.
Yeah, it's more specific to OneDrive, which is great because, you know, this is just another sign of maturity, as I was saying, you know, that it's becoming a more governable, you know, part of the enterprise.
Cool.
I've got a question. So in the, where it says OneDrive at and says the company name.
Yep. Yeah, unfortunately, I've cut off.
Yeah. Do you have any experience with what happens if you change the company name?
I don't.
Okay.
So, but I'm assuming that, you know, this being file level, that it would probably, you know, remain, so that you might have to write some script that would go out and update that, and so you probably want to attach that to your network login script. But you know, that's an interesting scenario.
Or you'd have to change the name of the local folder plus the policy at the same time.
Change the policy
that it knows where to look.
Yeah, the default name of the local folder on the file system just says OneDrive. So the only time that a name change causes a big problem is if you're synced to multiple tenants, which is unusual in the real world, except for like developers. That's where you run into that trouble. And then the name that appears in the UI of the Explorer, that is set in the registry at the time that OneDrive is installed. So anybody who installed OneDrive on their workstation and connected to the tenant before the name change is going to continue to see the old name.
Yeah.
And then anybody who sets up the workstation after the name change would see the new name. For those people who had it from before, the easiest thing to do is to remove the account and then re-add the account for the workstation, and then it'll pick up the new name.
Thank you.
It's not, it's not a terribly common scenario, but yeah. In case of mergers or acquisitions or whatnot, you do come across that name change yeah. scenario.
When you say remove the account, just clear the local TripCat profile?
No.
Not the whole Windows profile, but in OneDrive itself, in the task icon, right click, you go into settings.
You can turn off
and you can remove the account and then re-empty.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. So now we're going to understand the limitations. You know, I think everybody remembers the 8.3 sort of naming convention way back when, and then 256 characters, and So now these things still you're not going to put in War and Peace in the name of your file, but there's things are longer, but they still have limitations. So right now, the number of items that can be synced, 100,000 is recommended. There's a size limitation of 15 gigabytes, character limit of 400. So currently you can only sync the folder to your local machine. Network locations are not supported. Differential sync at this time is not supported. Authenticated proxies are not supported.
What is differential sync?
So that's the file level where maybe you can save different versions, differential. So it's a there's incremental sync, there's differential sync, there's version level sync. So this isn't, if I remember correctly, this is not saving the different, like SharePoint does with the
it's
versioning.
It's saving the entire document.
It's not the
delta. In a concrete sense, what not supported means is, let's say you have a file that's synchronized to your machine and you shared it with another person. That other person makes a small edit to the file. They change one word.
Yeah.
The other machine is going to bring down a full copy of the new version of the file.
Right.
Instead of just bring down the bits.
The delta.
And then libraries currently with checkouts cannot be synced. So let's say you go onto the site, you check the file out, it's not going to sync down until you check that back in. Then it'll pull down the changes. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yep.
And then, this is all the fun stuff, the invalid character, valid characters. So, you can't use all the fun special characters that you've never been able to use in most cases anyways. I often find problems with this sort of thing with Mac users. Actually, I had a CFO of a company one time who, liked using backslashes and all of her file names and dash, a variety of things. And she transferred over to a Windows machine, and we moved all her stuff over to a file server at the time. And she couldn't access any of her full files all of a sudden. So, Windows users, you probably don't see these problems. Now things are becoming more web-enabled as well.
Are you saying Windows users are smarter than Mac users? I'm just kidding.
No, they speak a different language almost entirely. And then, there's a variety of, non-supported file strings. So,
So things when you that say a non-supported file string, it means you cannot use that
extension
term as a file name.
Right. Yeah. And then, there's some folder paths that you can't use because they're reserved. And then non-supported folder names, forms, because that's already being used behind the scenes in OneDrive. So what are some of the deployment scenarios? We talked a lot about GPOs already. So, there's a variety of ways you can go, package up the actual OneDrive installer. So, you can use things like Flexera to create MSI packages and deploy them via GPO, as we discussed. You can also use a configuration management tool such as SCCCM or systems configuration. What's that?
System center configuration
management. Yeah, see, I remember from the SMS days.
Yeah.
Always sticks in my head. And then updating group.exe to OneDrive.exe will sync but not redownload context. So, you've got to push out the specific context to the user. So, as I was mentioning earlier, Ray Ozzie was the guy who sort of developed one of the technologies that dovetailed into what OneDrive is today, and that was Groove. So effectively, Groove was the initial client. It sort of became legacy for a short period of time. It's what it was named. It's now called OneDrive.exe.
And so from a and the OneDrive.exe was released, I think, last January?
Yeah, recently.
Right. So that's one of the things we ran into is that a bunch of users had the old OneDrive, and we had to get them onto the new OneDrive. And so you had to make, there's different ways to tell what version you're using, but one of the clues is that the actual executable, the old executable is Groove, and the new executable is OneDrive.
So an interesting implication of that is that, so you have actually, so there was, you could have had Groove deployed at one point in your organization, you could have had SkyDrive deployed in your organization, you had a, you know, earlier versions of OneDrive in your organization, and they would all be named Groove.
So, if I remember correctly, was it the OneDrive or the first version of OneDrive that came out would not sync SharePoint libraries, or was it then Groove would, then they fixed that or something?
Yeah, so yeah. The current release of the other name they use for OneDrive EXE is the next generation sync client, and that syncs OneDrive in Office 365, SharePoint document libraries in Office 365, but does not sync on premise. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right. It does SharePoint online.
Yeah.
Right. So you might actually still be running Groove.
Yeah. EXE, you can run
right
both
now,
side by side if you need to.
So, and again, that would be a consideration for your deployment. You know, are you using OneDrive on-prem, OneDrive in the cloud? So things will work out in your overall deployment strategies and considerations, this, you know, for complications you want to, you know, proactively consider. And that's just what the fun installer looks like. So these are just some of the options from a policy perspective. So, you know, you can talk about what users can do, you know, co-authoring and in-app sharing for Office files. You know, delay updating OneDrive EXE until the second release wave. So, like, you know, saying, you know, when should this be updated? We'll talk a little bit about that. You know, prevent users from changing the location of their OneDrive folder. Why they would do this, we don't know, but we know they would. You know, prevent users from synchronizing personal OneDrive accounts. So this is kind of critical because, you know, a number of people, you know, they're going to be trying to sync down their, you know, their private music folder that they have up in OneDrive. You know, they paid the extra $100 a year, whatever it is, to get the 1 terabyte, and now they're going to try to sync it all the way down to their laptop. And first of all, they're going to find out that, one, they don't have a terabyte on their laptop. Second, you know, they're going to be gobbling up network bandwidth, and, you know, everyone around them is going to go, I can't get online, or, you know, everything seems to be slow all of a sudden. So this is a really useful, you know, setting in the GPO.
So one of the things we did is, because we had Office 2010, mm-hmm. it came with that by default.
Right.
When we went to Office 365, one of the things we did is our deployment team is they went and removed the old OneDrive, personal OneDrive from everybody's machine so there wouldn't be any confusion.
Right.
And because we're, you know, in the insurance business and health, and we had to make sure that nothing got crossed over and, you know, there was no implication that you could access personal from. So
yeah,
we just removed it from the machine, and that's not the problem.
And that makes a lot of sense, especially in an organization like HCSC.
Yeah.
So I have a question just from a non-technical perspective. If so, like, my IT department basically just turned this on, like, everything in the waffle for a couple people only, so it's limited. So I have OneDrive in there now. So in order for it to work the way that I would anticipate that I'd want it to work, all of these things need to be done before people start using it, right? Because this would be like my OneDrive, that my personal OneDrive that's set up if they didn't do all these things.
So if we're talking about there's two things. You'd have, you know, you have your personal OneDrive for business and on your Office 365 tenant. Then there's the OneDrive personal, and that's where it gets kind of confusing, that you would get like on your, that goes along with your Hotmail account. So they're two different things. So it's
okay. So if it's in the waffle, it is OneDrive for business then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's a good way to think of it. And then in terms of what's required in order for it to work, the folder redirection part of the conversation that we had here, that's not strictly required, right? That's a suggestion.
Yeah.
To
it's
make
a good
it
practice.
Easier for users so that they don't have two separate My Documents.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not required. You could roll out the organizational OneDrive for business without doing the redirection,
mm-hmm.
and then they would still deal with their local My Documents folder.
At least during a transition type of.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just an overall, you know, desktop management, you know,
eventually
strategies, approach of things.
My suggestion is before you do if you're doing just some POC beta piloting, not as big a deal. That's where you can kind of learn what people are doing. But I would certainly recommend having those from a support standpoint, and for your IT people, they're going to want to do those GPOs, because when they go to a machine, and they're saying, okay, let's take a look at your OneDrive folder. I don't have to go, okay, when you set it up, what folder did you put it in?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
it gives them, if you don't have that policy, it gives them the option
to choose
what
yeah.
folder,
yes.
whether they
yeah,
just put it at the root of their
yeah.
C drive or in their, under their users, my documents, and I will tell you as a support person.
Uneducated users
right?
are
yeah.
make a bad choice.
Yes.
yeah, you don't need it. So, and for those who were pilot users, I would probably go with the suggestion of having them remove their OneDrive and then let the policy and recreate it.
Yeah.
Just so even the 100 or so pilot users or whatever
conform
to
board with what the general
right.
configuration is that everybody has.
But for piloting, you know, just to see what it does and learn how to do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we didn't have that right away either.
Yeah, you're just going to kind of want to mess with those things. It's sort of a phased approach. You know, you're going to have like your handful of users who are going to say, okay, let's try this out. And you may try, you're going to want to try to mess around with these kind of
it's
settings.
It's just a local
make sure that, you know,
because
you have a good understanding of them, understand what the implications and actual experience, you know, of them are. But again, so one thing to, you know, especially for folks who aren't that familiar with GPOs, to consider is that there are specific user configurations, scenarios and options, and computer configuration options. And those can have different implications from a support perspective as well, because in some cases, you know, if you just push an update, it'll update automatically. Sometimes you do actually have to log out or reboot the computer. So, but again, nice thing is like you can do things like we're talking about, you know, latency causing. So you can set the maximum percentage of upload bandwidth that OneDrive can use from a computer perspective, which is, you know, big, because, you know, when you consider the multiplier effect, you know, pushing this out to hundreds if not thousands of people. That can. Yes, sir.
One other thing that was our desktop people figured out, so I'm not going to say this is an absolute gospel, but when it syncs down, whatever space they have that they're using on their OneDrive, during the sync process, it needs double that space on the local machine while it's doing the sync.
Oh, because it's creating a temp copy.
Right, so
yeah.
If you have 25 gig up in the cloud, it needs 50 gig. Is that still the case?
That was true with Groove.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's no longer true with the OneDrive EXE.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the improvements.
Okay, that's good.
That's great.
I know, because we put quotas on our OneDrive,
yeah.
And when we did it, you had to use PowerShell. Now there's a setting you can, in the admin panel, so that we made sure that nobody ran out of space on their hard drive while they were syncing.
Okay, another key consideration is that Microsoft rolls out two what they refer to as update rings, so they have production and enterprise. I don't know, Larry, if you want to mention anything about that.
No, I think that they're not called production and enterprise. The names are changing again.
Okay.
So I don't
yeah.
even remember what they're called today, but the names are changing again, so don't get too hung up on names.
But
just
no.
understand there's two different timings.
Yeah.
Is that like the first release that we talked about before?
Yeah, so Office okay. used the terminology of
deferred channel?
First release, then deferred channel, and then current channel.
Okay.
And then Windows had a similar concept for Windows OS, and they used current branch for business, and CVB and current branch. Anyway, so they got a lot of feedback. The two teams got a lot of feedback that there were similar concepts with different names. It was confusing everybody. So they're in the process of synchronizing the timing and the names that they use. So
and the timing is supposed to line up starting in September.
September
okay.
is when everything
went out. Yeah, the key insight I kind of drew from this was that, you know, you have the 1 to 2 week rollout period. And then the one you want to kind of target is the 60-day window, where that's where you actually want to start pulling down the update and pushing it out, because that seems that's more the bake than the cake. Everyone's kind of worked through it at this point. So the recommendation is, you know, to go with the 60-day window rollout. And this is sort of what I was talking about earlier when you were talking about registry. So currently, if you enable group settings, you need to disable setting rather than change it back to not configure it, as the registry item will not be removed. So in this case, registry is not updated, you know, directly. So how many people have Mac users actually using OneDrive in their organization? Yes, a few. Well, Microsoft has everything. So.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I don't deal with Mac users that much. So.
I haven't in years. I used to deal with them a lot. I actually used to use a Mac as my primary machine, and I, you know, ran Windows as a VM or a don't, we'll do
parallel.
Yeah. So, but just some, you know, you have to configure some of the properties with what's referred to as a property list or a P list. So, you need to do that in order to disable personal accounts, you know, to set the default folder location, to, you know, set the automatic upload bandwidth, create the doc icon, set where the P list actually gets stored, you know, set what the domain is, because, you know, if you've dealt with Maxim domains, they're a lot of fun.
So P list is kind of the Mac equivalent of a group policy object.
It's really an XML file. It's not for converting. Yeah, it's more than like any file.
So it's a per application configuration file.
Yeah. And then so that's the fun part. Because there's the management tools for Macs aren't very robust at all. You know, it's a lot of manual work that has to be pushed out one way or another.
Unless you have a big enterprise like Casper or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Even that's not fun.
No. Actually, remember years ago I talked to a law firm that ran all Macs on the front end and Solaris on the back end.
Why?
They said security.
They wanted to be different.
Somebody had a great idea.
Yep. Somebody did job security.
Security by obscurity.
Somebody's brother-in-law worked for Solaris.
Maybe. Bring back OS2.
Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to talk a little bit about monitoring overall usage. Soren, over here. Has everybody heard about the new sort of Office 365 Admin Center, you know, the updated reports and things of that nature? So, you know, now there's one where you can actually, you know, track more of the usage of, you know, these things, and the report's 7 days, 10 days, 90 days, 180 days out. So, you know, you can get a more robust view of, like, what your OneDrive usage looks like, which is, you know, huge, because, you know, getting a good handle on how these things are actually being used, adopted, abused in some cases, is going to be very beneficial. So you not only have this, but you also have, you know, a PowerShell view of these things, which is nice, because then you can actually pipe this out into a specialized report and, you know, get more fine, you know, home details, and actually probably automate a system around it if you want to get, you know, those sort of alerts and updates and, you know, monitored events. And then, you know, you can discover what's being used in your companies, again, with like products like SAC, CM, other third-party tools to say, okay, what's out there? Who's using Dropbox? Who has Box, you know, .NET installed? Who has, you know, Google Drive? And, you know, then you can, you know, develop strategies, you know, how to maintain and control those things. You know, do you lock it down? I mean, I worked at Northern Trust. They had one, you know, they had a very lockdown system. You know, there's a whole certification team that I've met and worked with, you know. That's a very controlled desktop environment. I worked at State Farm, an incredibly controlled environment. I mean, you can't take the laptop off site without it automatically connecting to, you know, VPN over Wi-Fi. You're not getting out without them knowing what you're doing. Other organizations aren't as controlled. So sometimes you have to come up with different, you know, remediation strategies. So it's like, okay, so at least, you know, so running reports like this will be huge, you know, to find out like, okay, who's actually using what, and getting a good sense of how to manage that.
I'm going back to your previous slide, the one before that. So in addition to this report that's in usage reports in the admin center, the Power BI pack would now also have reports.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. So the data that you see displayed in this view here, the underlying data behind the view gets fed into the Power BI pack.
No, that's great.
Yeah. So we you know, just from today, you've already gotten two new ways to look at your OneDrive data.
And I'm sorry, did you say that this is only the system admin has this view?
Yeah, so this view here is what the global administrator or
service admin is it?
Service admin.
I think
there
are some other roles that can give this view without being a total global admin, so you have the ability to do that.
But
granular.
And then to my point, though, so that's why I was called this out of, you know, the PowerShell approach. So you could work with your technical team to say, okay, I know that there's this PowerShell way to get, you know, information out. Can we create a nightly job or a weekly job or whatever it is to create a report that can get, you know, emailed to me and my team or sent to a file share or a OneDrive location?
Or
so
document library.
The document library. So that's why it's nice that you have this capability, because you can create a PowerShell in Azure and then have a flow deliver it, and it's all this Microsoft flow.
Which actually brings up an interesting thing, that is Microsoft is rolling out, and then one of the things Microsoft is doing a really neat job on, and what a lot of these updates are for is they're really bringing all these separate products that they rolled under Office 365 and making them more cohesive, and they're also bringing them under, right, and they're also bringing them under a similar administration. So the administration changes, but they're really adding a lot of that, and where you can start to administer multiple things in the same interface. So, you know, on a weekly basis, it's becoming more of a single product than a bunch of stuff under a single name.
Yeah, like interoperability is, you know, becoming like huge. That, yeah. It's like a, so related but different. We're working on a very large financial optimization project for Azure here. So one of the big things that people don't understand about, you know, Azure is that there's a 45-day out, you know, billing cycle. So somebody can turn a VM on day one, and you won't know about it until you get the bill on day 45, and it could be running, you know, hot and heavy, and it's like $9,000. What's going on? You know, like, because they beefed it up. So the tooling, the PowerShell tooling underneath the hood allows us to get way finer daily reports out of that kind of thing. So that's why, you know, PowerShell is such a great tool, because it allows you to really get in there and get a better understanding of what your environments look like from Azure, from Office 365, and the variety of tools within there. So.
And if you're not a PowerShell person yourself, but you've got one on staff, they can always create scripts for you that
exactly
will allow you to generate these reports at
ad hoc. So. Yeah, just and you can automate them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. You know, either you make it a timer job or a batch, you know, beyond something, you know, use a scheduler in Azure or something of that nature.
But one thing to keep in mind, that when you run PowerShell, it still uses your security level from Office 365. So just because you get in and you run PowerShell doesn't mean you can get information you wouldn't be able to get based on your role.
It always uses the security context of the user who's running the script.
Right.
Yeah. That's one thing to watch out for, is like if a little admin could run the script and they get 500 pages of data, they give you the same script, you run it, you don't have access to any of that data, you get like 0.
Yeah,
like
0, 0, 0.
But
then that tells you there's a problem. Right.
Well, and that's where, like, scheduling a job at night under
administrative
ID, we call them non-person IDs,
like right? Service.
Yeah. This can be helpful.
Yep. All right, so essentially, you know, the last step is saying, you know, take control, take command of your file services management, you know, be the captain of your ship. We're going to abuse that, you know, beyond belief. So, quick review. You know, manage the location of where OneDrive folders are being installed. Understand the limitations, you know, of the product itself, you know, what the file naming conventions are, folder conventions, things of that nature. Get a good handle on your deployment approach, and it will result in some kind of psychotic heading phase.
Well, thank you, Sean.
Thank you.